Welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and the studios of WMOT-FM. Dr. Jack Justin Turner was working on a book when he passed away in December 2011. The retired MTSU political science professor had turned his attention from murder mystery novels to his hometown of Maytown, Kentucky, and its tradition of high school basketball excellence. Jack's friend Steve Allen completed the book for him. It's called Maytown Magic and Mayhem, 50 Years of Mountain Basketball from Chestnut Hill Publishing. We'll speak to Steve about an MTSU professor's quest to chronicle a substantial part of his life and the lives of many others after this from MTSUnews.com.
Here are a few of the stories now on MTSUnews.com, the university's news and information website. The start of the fall 2012 semester at MTSU includes the first offerings in a new minor in Jewish and Holocaust studies, an undergraduate study of the cultures of the Jewish people and the genocide known as the Holocaust. Jewish culture and civilization, the Holocaust, and current trends in Jewish and Holocaust studies are general requirements for the minor. All signs point to success in finding the right area of MTSU's James E. Walker Library, with bright new directional signals adorning the building this fall. With color-coded arrows resembling the signposts from TV's MASH located in the elevator key areas, students now will have an easier task finding the section of the library they need. Library officials say they hope the signs will enable students, especially freshmen and transfer students, to use their studying and research time more efficiently and reduce unnecessary trips to the information desk. For MTSU News Anytime, go to MTSUnews.com.
And now with us on the phone from Kentucky is Steve Allen, somewhere deep within the bowels of the Appalachian Mountains. Steve, thanks for being with us. Hey, we heard a remembrance of Jack after he died with an encore presentation of an interview I did with him in 2008. We were talking about one of his novels. But for people who didn't know Jack, or Justin, as his friends called him, tell us a little bit about what kind of a person we're talking about here.
Okay, I sure will. I've known Justin almost all my life. We both grew up in Maytown, and from what I saw, he was 4 years older than I, but from what I saw, he was a leader as a kid in the Boy Scouts, and everyday events, like a lot of the kids would get up on the hills around Maytown and have BB gun battles, and Justin was certainly at least a platoon leader in those battles and got his glasses shot at one time.
But that was back when glasses were made of glass.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. He was just a good guy and a great basketball player. But later on, I learned from him that I believe his mantra was just do the right thing for people, and that's what he tried to live by. That was his philosophy.
It's an interesting combination of intelligence, regular person, and athlete. You don't always find those three qualities in the same individual.
Yeah, I believe you're correct. And you can't leave out his wit and his humor. He was had the greatest sense of dry humor that I came into contact with, and not the kind of guy I really wanted to get into a debate with, because he'd usually win. But, yeah, he was an athlete, especially in basketball, and he was a regular guy. He knew everybody, it seemed, in the area, and probably went to more funerals than any human being alive, to the point that he told one of the funeral homes in Floyd County, which is where Maytown is, he thought he would just leave a couple of suits down there. He knew that many people and cared about them.
Did he ask you to finish the book for him, or did you just take it on?
He asked me. We collaborated for quite a while on it. Right after he retired from MTSU, around 2000, he started thinking about his two trilogies, the Sheriff's Murder Cases and the Foxes and the Hounds trilogies. And I was not involved with the first Sheriff's, the first mystery, at all, and got involved in the first Foxes towards the end as an editor. And I have a master's in English Lit. Justin knew that. Our families have been close since probably the late 1800s, and we are slightly related. And then when the second Sheriffs came around, I edited it in its entirety, and I've already edited Bluegrass Days, which hasn't been published in the Foxes and Hounds series. So I was already greatly involved when he realized time was running out and he had to finish the Maytown magic book. And we spent half the time laughing. Some of his asides in the book, which are italicized, are some of the funniest stuff I've ever read. And we just remembered a lot together, and he had a lot more information than I, but it was a labor of love, and he knew I was going to finish it.
Why do you think it was important to Jack to write this book?
Well, I'm not sure he had a choice. In the book itself, he mentions when his dad was principal, his house was right behind the gym, actually literally in spitting distance, and he could hear the sounds from the gym before he knew what was going on. And his dad would take him over for each home game, probably while he was still in diapers, and he grew up in the gym. And then he became a player, and a great player. He's still tied in Kentucky for the eighth most rebounds ever in a game. And that happened in 1955. And he got 33 rebounds and 41 points, and he was only 6'2", which is not that tall for a basketball player, as you know. And basketball is such a part of it. I'm sure some of it came from just the Kentucky madness, the craziness about basketball, because the one claim to fame was certainly not football, like it might be in Tennessee or Texas. But it was basketball because of the University of Kentucky in the late 40s and then 50s and then onward. But it was the craziest sport on earth. If anybody reads the book, they'll see all the madness that went on from climbing in an old gym on an away game, climbing up through the roof to the basketball floor and being peppered with field corn shot with slingshots as you entered the gym, to crooked referees, to crooked scorekeepers, to away teams that would put promising young players in the coal mines to get them stronger, and they'd come back playing probably a lot after they should have age-wise. It was just almost a surreal event, basketball in the hills of eastern Kentucky. He never interviewed anyone. He just talked to people. He talked to everyone, all the old folks, so many old folks who are no longer around, and he got stories, which went into the Foxes and the Hounds trilogy and also into the mystery. But every now and then, here would come a basketball story. So he had a lot of information already.
So he had collected part of this information while he was doing research on his fiction books, and he just stored away these stories and then put them into a nonfiction book.
I believe that's correct, and I don't think he was planning a Maytown basketball book or a Maytown history at that time, but he had a lot of information. After Justin passed away, his wife Judy gave me two boxes, big boxes, a lot bigger than a bread box, two big boxes about the size of a large cooler, full of information, and some of it typed, some of it finished, a great deal of it, matter of fact, finished. But I would like to say this. I read recently that Fitzgerald wrote 48 different endings to The Great Gatsby. Justin had so many beginnings and so many endings to chapters, but he had decided on most of them, and as we collaborated, as he got more ill, we pretty much decided on what to go with, so I didn't have to work too hard on that part of it.
More about Maytown Magic and Mayhem after this break on MTSU on the Record.
The Concrete Industry Management Program at MTSU fills the need for trained personnel who know concrete technology and techniques.
Our alumni go into the marketplace grounded in basic math and science and able to promote products or services related to the industry. Our participation in the Academic Common Market ensures talented students in other states a chance to enroll on an in-state tuition basis. This is Dr. Heather Brown, Director of the program.
To find out more information on this or other university programs, visit mtsunews.com.
We're talking with Steve Allen. No, not that Steve Allen, but Steve Allen, co-author of Maytown Magic and Mayhem, 50 Years of Mountain Basketball. It is a book written by, actually, Dr. Jack Justin Turner, former MTSU political science professor who passed away in December 2011. And Steve essentially finished the book for him. Could you speak to why Maytown kids gravitated to basketball instead of football or some other sport, Steve?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. Well, like I say, you know, my name is Steve Allen, but when I write, and on this book, it says by Jack Justin Turner in big print, and below it, smaller letters, with a rare assist by S.T. Allen.
That's because you wouldn't give up the ball. You had to shoot. You didn't do too much in the assist department
right.
When you were playing.
There's a player in there who was an all-SEC player at Vanderbilt, Rudy Thacker, who says that he got more assists in the first quarter he ever played at Maytown than I got in my entire career. How the town really got interested in basketball over other sports, even though early on a lot of sports were in play, including horse racing and certainly baseball. But the main problems with other sports, like there's not enough flat land around Maytown that didn't have homes on it for a really good baseball field. They had a little league field, but it takes less space. Maytown High School was too small to field a football team. I mean, I graduated after Dr. Turner, and we had 30 people in my graduating class, and if you multiply that times four, that's 120 people. Half of that's 60, and it's sure hard to find a good football team out of 60 males.
Unless you use the girls, but I don't think they were interested.
Absolutely, and they had a great girls' basketball team, of course, up there, but tennis, I never saw a tennis court, I don't believe, until I got out of Floyd County. There was a golf course, and we produced some good golfers later on. But basketball was it. And I'm sure the University of Kentucky's success had something to do with it, but it also was just the best place to be, one of the most exciting places I've ever been, on a Friday night in a gym packed, most of them fire traps, people smoking, whiffs of bourbon in the air. And when something exciting happened in those small gyms packed to the brim, people standing room only, the air crackled. You could not actually make out the sound of the roar. It was louder than anything I've ever heard at Rupp Arena or any other basketball venue.
That cultural atmosphere you describe is something that people associate perhaps more with Indiana because of the movie Hoosiers, but you know, Adolph Rupp and Kentucky's storied history notwithstanding at the University of Kentucky, I don't think most people associate that cultural atmosphere with Kentucky itself,
Justin,
the state.
Was so highly peeved when Hoosiers, the movie, came out, that he or I or someone else hadn't written it about a team like Cuba in western Kentucky, which is exactly like Hoosiers. And so, yeah, both Indiana and Kentucky can claim a great love and a great history for high school basketball.
Now, it was pretty cheap, too. I mean, you didn't have to spend a gazillion dollars on knee pads and thigh pads and shoulder pads and helmets. You needed a ball, you needed a gym, you needed the nets, and you needed uniforms and jocks, and that was about it.
That's correct. That's absolutely right. Baseball, if you had flat land, would probably be cheaper. but the only field we ever played on, if you hit one to right field, it would hit a car going down the road miles an hour, and it wouldn't be good. So space was probably the biggest problem. Cost, definitely, as far as football is concerned.
And this was back in the era when men's basketball, boys' basketball, was not all about the rock'em sock'em video game speed slam dunk type of play. You still had to be fairly strategic, didn't you?
Absolutely. And one of the great things about Maytown Magic is Jack Justin did such a tremendous research job as how basketball changed from, say, the 1920s up until when Maytown ended as a school in 1972. There were vast, vast changes. And I don't know if Justin ever played in high school against anyone who dunked a basketball. He might have been able to himself, but it just basically wasn't done until when I was a senior. A team came in from Northern Kentucky, and their first 11 players dunked the basketball, and we just stood and watched them and didn't warm up, which really didn't make our coach happy.
Now, Jack must have saved some of these clippings and artifacts over the years, because it was important enough to him to write a book, so it couldn't all have come from discussions he had with other people, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, he had a great collection of articles, photos, even a basketball from a championship team from Maytown that happened 2 years after he graduated, and I don't know where he got that, but he had just a lot of information that he had gathered. So maybe subconsciously he was writing this book before he knew he was. But he did get a lot from parents who kept stuff in scrapbooks, and he did a great, great deal of research in the local newspapers going back into their archives, because the bigger papers during the 40s and 50s, the bigger papers actually did not cover games in southeastern Kentucky. There was a limited Eastern Kentucky edition of the Louisville Courier-Journal, but it didn't get very far out into the state. So some great players were ignored and didn't get scholarship offers early on. That changed after a guy named Kelly Coleman from Wayland, who still holds all the scoring records in Kentucky State Tournament, went to the state tournament. But even he was ignored downstate until he went to the state tournament and destroyed every record.
So then how did recruiters eventually find the best players in Maytown? I don't suppose that they ventured back up into the hills where you guys were all that often.
Not until after, say, 1956-57, after Kelly Coleman, who I mentioned, and then a little later, during the 60s, coaches lived in Maytown because some great teams that came out of there, with some great Division I basketball players who played at George Washington and at Vanderbilt and other big schools and were very, very good. But it probably wasn't until the 1960s that that happened. And the way anybody would make it to a larger Division I school before then was if a coach knew somebody and that somebody knew a major coach and would call and say, hey, you got to give this guy a tryout. But the guy would have to go to Lexington or Louisville or wherever to try out. They wouldn't come to see the games.
We'll have more in just a moment. This is MTSU On the Record.
Okay. The Middle East Center at MTSU seeks to promote greater understanding of the politics, history, and culture of this vitally important region of the world. Its mission includes the promotion of outreach programs and faculty research. The center sponsors lectures by Middle East experts and scholarly exchanges. We're especially pleased to offer a new interdisciplinary minor in Middle East Studies with courses in Arabic and Hebrew. This is Dr. Alan Hibbard, Center Director.
For all the latest MTSU information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking with Steve Allen, who is the co-author and editor of Dr. Jack Justin Turner's final book, which was completed posthumously. It's called Maytown Magic and Mayhem, 50 Years of Mountain Basketball. Dr. Turner was a professor here at MTSU. Talk a little bit about the girls' basketball team. Did the good citizens of Maytown care as much about the girls' game as they did about the boys' game?
Absolutely. They had large crowds. Some of the girls' teams early on, and Jack Justin talks a lot about my aunt, Harriet Allen, who was probably, as she had a track team, had we had a track team back then, she may have been as good as Babe Diedrichs and Zaharias. I don't know. She was remarkable. And there were some girls' teams, as they called them, that could have probably held their own against men's teams, despite a size disadvantage, but they could shoot as well, just as they can today. If you'll notice, the female teams of today can probably shoot as well or better than the men, but still can't jump as high. Jack Justin mentions in there they even liked donkey basketball and liked to watch little semi-pro teams from around the area play people like the Bearded House of David, or when the women came in to play the men, I think they were called the All-Star, All-American Redheads, female team came in. There just wasn't a great deal to do. I mean, there was a movie theater down the road about 5 miles, but other than that, basketball games or other school activities, including carnivals, movies at the theater, and things like that. The school was the center of Maytown activities, and basketball was maybe the center of that.
The girls were playing 6-on-6 back then, weren't they? Weren't they playing that game where you don't cross the center line?
Absolutely. Yeah, there were some non-shooting players, and Justin knew a heck of a lot more about that than I because of his research. So you'd have some great, great players that might never score.
What about the cheerleaders? Jack married one of them.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Cheerleaders had their own groupie males that would follow them around because they were so pretty and twirling around with their pancake makeup legs. It was, and they had some really. They didn't tumble until like in the late 60s, and they certainly didn't do the stuff that college cheerleaders do today, but they had some interesting cheers, and they had a following.
Those skirts that they wore, those were kind of like 50s poodle skirts in their cheerleader uniforms.
Yeah, they twirled. Not that I noticed.
Oh, of course not.
But they twirled pretty high. And my sister was also a cheerleader, so I know that. That's how I know they put pancake makeup on their legs.
Now, these groupie males you're talking about, we're not talking about anything dangerous. We're not talking about stalking or anything like that.
Not at all. Not at all. It was really, even though Floyd County, as Justin points out, per capita led the nation in homicides one year, it was one of the safest places on earth to grow up if you were a kid. And
the kind of place where you could, you know, leave your front door unlocked and that kind of thing, or leave your car door unlocked.
Yeah, and I realize that there were a lot of places back then like that, but there was also, even though I never saw a state policeman in Maytown, there was a form of justice if anybody got out of line, and other parents would take care of the individual.
Was Jack at 6'2" the tallest guy who ever played for Maytown? Who was the tallest guy who ever played for the boys?
Good question. It would be somewhere, I believe, in the neighborhood of 6'5 or 6'6. When I played, we had a center, and that was only like 4 or 5 years after Justin. We had a center who was 6'5. But 6'2 is still relatively short to have done as well as Justin did on the boards, and it was because he was smart, he knew how to get position. And he was just a very high IQ basketball player as well as person.
Well, he wore glasses and he looked kind of like Clark Kent. He looked like George Reeves playing Superman.
Yeah, he did indeed. But he got a name I don't know if he liked or not. But the kids called him Captain Video because after a radio and then TV character later who wore goggles at times. And Justin had to wear goggles over his regular glasses, which would fog up and probably cost him a lot of points and rebounds. But later he just became known as the captain because he was a leader. And I believe after the movie Dead Poets Society, I believe they said Captain, Oh Captain in there after a famous poem. And I believe some of the students at MTSU started calling him Captain, as well as all of his friends and fans back in the hills of Kentucky.
We'll pause one more time and be back in our remaining moments with Steve Allen. This is MTSU on the Record.
The MTSU Educational Talent Search, or METS, reaches out to students in grades 6 through 12 in Coffee, Grundy, and Warren counties. We provide youngsters who have college potential with educational and financial aid counseling and guide them as they determine their educational and career goals. More than 95% of Educational Talent Search students graduate from high school, and more than 79% enroll in post-secondary education. This is METS Coordinator Debbie Frisbee.
For all the latest MTSU information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking about a book called Maytown Magic and Mayhem, 50 Years of Mountain Basketball from Chestnut Hill Publishing, started by Dr. Jack Justin Turner, former professor of political science here at MTSU, who passed away in December 2011. His friend Steve Allen completed the book for him. Did you ever find it curious that Jack never really lost touch with his hometown roots so much, and yet at the same time his specialty was international relations, and so he did travel?
His father was highly respected, highly educated. His mother was a poet of some renown. Thornton Wilder called a genius when his mother was still a teenager. The Big Sandy Valley, of which Maytown was a part, was totally unlike any of the stereotypical pictures you get of hillbillies. It was a highly educated area, and Maytown within that area was a non-coal mining community in an area of coal mines, and it was highly educated. The populace, relatively speaking, even out of my graduating class, I think 20 or 22 people out of the 30 went on to college, and that was just what was expected. His grandfather and my grandfather and two other individuals put up the money and built Maytown High School back in the 20s with no help from the state, no help from the county. The founders of the school got Mrs. Alice Lloyd, who started a famous college in the hills, to recruit teachers from out of state as well as in state to make sure that they were well educated. So Maytown's pretty exceptional.
Maytown Magic and Mayhem, 50 Years of Mountain Basketball. How do people get their hands on a copy?
From Chestnut Hill Publishing, Post Office Box 22565, Lexington, Kentucky 40502. It's selling like crazy in southeastern Kentucky and in Lexington.
Steve, thanks for taking the time to be with us today, and thanks for sharing the book. I enjoyed being up at the Maytown homecoming with all of y'all, and it was a real joy to be up in the mountains.
Well, Jenna, it was great meeting you up at the reunion in the hills, and I'm glad you got to see Maytown, even though it's not what it was way back then, and it's been great talking with you.
MTSU On the Record, a news and information program about Middle Tennessee State University, is produced by the university's Marketing and Communications Office, which is solely responsible for its content. Read more about MTSU at our website, mtsunews.com. Podcasts of this program are available at mtsunews.com and on iTunes.